And because I was not here yesterday, there were some amazing things that went down over the weekend that I would go back to. Normally on a Tuesday, we're not looking back. But because I was not here yesterday, we will look back. However, we are looking forward right now. I'm joined by a broadcaster and an analyst for NHL Network, ESPN, and TSN. More than 14 years in professional hockey, he helped lead the Carolina Hurricanes to the 2002 Stanley Cup Final. He was a second-round pick back in 1993. He will be on ESPN2's call for the Caps and Panthers Game 5 tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Remember, NHL Network is airing live coverage before and after every single game with NHL Now and NHL Tonight. Kevin Weeks is my guest. Kevin, there is no better time of year to talk to you than this time of year, my man. How you living? How you feeling?
Feeling great, Romy. What about you? The Derby's over, so how are you doing now that the Derby's passed?
Man, that was an amazing thing. I haven't even gotten to it yet today, Kevin, like I mentioned, because, 80-1, because I was not here yesterday, so it was an amazing thing to see. I'm going to get into that later on, but let me ask you about the postseason. Like, we know this. The NHL postseason really is the ultimate war of attrition. If you look at tonight's action alone, Kevin, of the four series tonight, all four are tied up at two games apiece, so when you look at tonight's action, can you give me a storyline or two that you're most focused on heading into this evening?
Yeah, I would say what we thought would have been the most compelling series, maybe in all of pro sports in the postseason, in Minnesota and the St. Louis Blues. That's living up to the billing now, especially the last two games. Two outstanding teams, ton of star power, ton of superstar power. The Minnesota Wild have Kirill Kaprizov, who's one of the best players on the planet. But I like their team in general. They've got a lot of depth. And then in the case of the St. Louis Blues, I'd say about 75% of their team was there when they won the Stanley Cup a couple years back against the Boston Bruins. Chief Berube is doing a great job behind the bench. Vladimir Tarasenko is healthy for them once again. Jordan Kyrou is a budding star, so is Robert Thomas. So I love that matchup. That series is great. And then another one that I'll focus on is the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Coming in, smart money would have said the Lightning would have probably won this one in 5 or 6, although the Leafs had a record-breaking season for them. But we know that their postseason history has been very challenging back in my hometown of Toronto, let's put it that way, outside of the Raptors. So that's really compelling, the fact that it's 2-2, that Tampa evened up that series in Game 4. I played exceptionally well back in Tampa, so it shifts to Toronto tonight.
Kevin Weeks joining us. I'm glad you mentioned those two series because I was going to ask you specifically about those two. I mean, when you look at Toronto and Tampa Bay, you've got the two-time defending champs, the Lightning. They're in a dogfight. As you mentioned, Toronto is so hungry because it's been so long. It's a fascinating matchup. In your mind, Kevin, what's the longer shot? The Lightning pulling off the three-peat or the Maple Leafs finally snapping their cup drought? And how do you see the rest of that series playing out?
I'd say the longer shot is the Leafs finally snapping the cup drought, because it goes back to 1967. And I know it well, of course, having grown up there. So I would say for Tampa, the three-peat is a near impossibility, but if there's anybody that can do it, it's them. They've got all the pieces. They're battle-tested. They've got the recipe book of what it takes to win the Stanley Cup. Their repeat champs, Patty Maroon, is a three-peat because he won it with St. Louis and then won two in Tampa. He's the only person on planet Earth that's had a three-peat the last 3 years, I think, in the world of major professional sports. So he's got a chance for a four-piece to hit him with a Kit Kat. But I love Tampa's team. The Leafs have come so far, I got to say. Auston Matthews out of Arizona, he's one of the best players in the world. For me, he's the most complete player in the world. I love Auston Matthews' game. The Leafs certainly are led by him and Mitch Marner, but Tampa's got the recipe. So if I'm saying the longer shot, it's the Leafs getting out of the first round.
All right, Kevin Weeks joining us. You mentioned Auston Matthews. So let me ask you this. The nominees for the Hart Trophy were announced last week. All eyes, of course, are on Auston Matthews and Connor McDavid. You just said Matthews is the most complete player you think right now. So is it McDavid's hardware to lose, or can you make an argument for Matthews?
I can make a strong argument for Matthews, and that's no slight to Connor McDavid. I think overall, Connor McDavid, no question, the last 5 years has been the best player in the league. But Auston Matthews, to me, is now the most complete player in the league, and he scores the most. He's the best goal scorer on the planet in our league. So all that to say, he's also rounded out his game. When you're the best goal scorer and you put up a 60 spot for the first time in Toronto Maple Leafs history for an original six franchise, and you're good defensively, and you're good in the faceoff circle, and you can make plays, I don't know, man. That's an all-rounder for me. So I look at him. He's a real unicorn in his own way. I give him the slight nod, but also don't sleep on Igor Shesterkin from the Rangers. their goalie here in New York. Had not for Shesterkin, there's no way the Rangers have anywhere near the season they did. He stole a lot of wins for them this season.
We're talking to Kevin Weeks. You know, Kevin, you said, and to your point, that the three-peat's more likely than Toronto actually getting their name on the cup. But can you imagine if and when that were to ever happen? It's been since 1967. If Matthews is the guy to get them there, I mean, can you imagine the icon and legend that he would be? Can you explain this, like, Kevin? It's such a different thing, Toronto, yeah. Montreal, in these Canadian cities. But if you were to isolate Toronto, can you explain what it's like to live and play there for those athletes and the pressure that comes along with being a part of an original six franchise that has not won at all since 67?
Yeah, let me tell you, right, like, in growing up there, even in youth hockey, like minor hockey, 8, 9, 10 years old, Peewee, you name it, like, we'd have 1,000 people on a Friday night at our games.
Wow.
Like, we had scouts coming out to watch us at 11, 12 years old, NHL scouts, pro, college, you name it, junior. So that's how you know how much of a hotbed it is. It literally is, like, it's a hot pot. It's like a big hot crock pot or a pot of chili. And the pressure is that way since you're kids, let alone now for these guys playing at the Leafs, you know, for the Leafs at the NHL level. I look back at the Raptors and what my man Masai Ujiri did with the Raps. Him leading them to the Larry O'B is beyond incredible. And there were 2.5 million people at that parade. And for any of the listeners that know, you know, we have Caravana every summer. I'm Caribbean. My parents are from Barbados. So we have Caravana every summer, the big Caribbean festival out there. And the parade does about 1.5-1.6 million people, okay? The Raptors almost double that. If the Leafs win, there could very well be about 4+ million people in the parade, literally. I think it might end up being the biggest parade in the history of professional sports, if and or when they ever win a Stanley Cup. But, yeah, the pressure is immense. Everybody lives and breathes the game, lives and dies the game. So it's a unique opportunity. As my man Tim Grover said, pressure is a privilege. So they've earned that privilege. They've had a record-setting season, not only individually with the likes of the great Austin Matthews, but team-wise, it's a big opportunity for them. They've got a great chance to vanquish the repeat Stanley Cup champs.
So, Kevin, you just name-checked two of my favorite guys, and that should probably come as no surprise to you. I love Masai. I haven't talked to Masai in a while, but I'm not sure what impressed me more, the fact that the Raptors won the Larry O, or that my guy Masai was like the last remaining celebrity on a BlackBerry. I was fascinated by both those things. What about Grover? Do you know, yeah. Are you connected to Grover as a fellow keynote guy, or have you worked out with him or both?
No, I connected with him. I've always followed him from afar, and then, of course, social media became a thing, and it's, you know, it's advanced to what it is now, so it's kind of amplified connectivity. So I've gotten a chance to meet him and his agent, Sherry Wank, had some lunch with them in Chicago, been in touch with them both. I think they're doing transformative things. They're doing a lot of what we do in the world of professional sports, but that's not necessarily seen by everyday folks and in everyday life, per se, or it's not identified as much, so... TG and Attack Athletics, he's the man. Sherry's awesome. They're great at what they do. Tim's the best on the planet. So I'm very happy to call him a friend and to call them both a friend going forward. I love everything that they're doing right now. Winning. It's all about winning. And as I told you, we learned that at 8 years old, 6 years old playing. And you don't only win on the playing surface, but we win in everyday life as well. So that's why I think he's been amazing. He's doing awesome.
He is. He, Grover and Sherry, I know them both. They're both intense. Yep. They're both a force, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Kevin Weeks is joining us. Kevin, before you go, you were on game one of the Avs and Preds. Colorado was the first to advance. Overall, are they the ones to beat?
I think in the West, I'm splitting atoms between Colorado and Calgary. Calgary has been money so far this year as well, all season long, and they played a playoff game style all season long under Daryl Sutter, bringing those two rings from the LA Kings that he got in that year in there. I'd say in the case of Colorado Avalanche, they're so dynamic. They can attack you in so many different ways with their speed, with their tempo. Cale Makar, for me, is the best defenseman in the world. I then looked at Nate MacKinnon, one of the best players in the world. MacKinnon skates like he had the V12 engine, honestly. Like, he's like a Bugatti out there. You just can't catch him. He gets so much separation. I'd say it's a split between the Avs and the Flames in the West. And in the East, as you know, all 8 teams that made the playoffs, every one of them had 100 points or better.
Insane. That is an insane stat.
It's wild. It's literally wild. We're going to do the NHL draft lottery momentarily at the NHL Network. It's going to air on ESPN tonight at 6, I think between 6 and 6:30 Eastern. And what's crazy about that, some people might be saying, oh, it's just a draft. Are you kidding me? Our league is so hyper-competitive. Look at the Eastern Conference right now, and that's how hyper-competitive it is. So on a night like tonight where you have the draft lottery, you know, this could very well have impact the immediate or near future of any franchise. So it makes it all the more compelling, man.
Kevin, can you explain that? And that is an amazing stat that I meant to bring up. You've got eight teams with 100 or more points in the East alone. How do you explain that?
The way I really explain it is it's the competitive balance in our league. And I think what's really interesting is look at all the East players that we have, all the stars and superstars we have in the East, right? So, you know, you talk about everybody up in Toronto. You talk about Steven Stamkos and Hedman and Vasilevskiy down in Tampa. Florida's got Barkov and Huberdeau, who had a franchise and league record-setting season. You go basically every team. Washington still has Ovi, Backstrom, Kuzi. So you go up and down the rosters, and you're like, stars. And to their credit, a lot of those aforementioned players have won and or close to winning. And not only are they great individually, but they're team-first players. So when you have your superstars playing like lunch pail players in terms of their commitment, blue collar, their grit, being team-first players, you know you're cooking with gas. And that's really what's happened with all eight teams in the East. Been impressive to watch.
I love that description you just had. Kevin Weeks joining us. One last thought. You mentioned the Rangers. So the Rangers had one of their best teams in years, but they've run into a Penguins team that has scored seven goals in back-to-back games. They've got a 3-1 series lead. Kevin, what do you make of Sid at 34 and still crushing it? What do you make of the way he and the Penguins are playing right now, and what's their ceiling?
I mean, here's the thing with Sid, and getting to know Sid and having a pretty good relationship with Sid, I would say this. What I love about Sid is he's all hockey all the time. His whole life is structured around being great, being the best player he can be, and making the biggest contribution to his team daily, nightly, practice, workouts, recovery, you name it. He's all in. One of the best players in the history of the world. I think right now he's sixth in our league for sure. He's sixth all time in points in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And when you think of all the great players that have played, plus he has 1,400 regular season points, he's going to go down as one of the GOATs for sure. And that sets the tone. But, Romy, think about this. You've got Sid, Hall of Fame, three rings. Geno Malkin, Hall of Fame, three rings. Jeff Carter, maybe Hall of Fame, is a third-line center, two rings from L.A. So down the middle, they've got eight Stanley Cup rings in their top three centers. Like, that's pretty unreal.
Does that and help? Is that beneficial?
Yeah, right. Does that help? Exactly. So that's basically like having three of your wideouts that are Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? In your receiver's core on any team. Like, it's unheard of. So I got to say, that strike down the middle really helps them. But that game one in this series at Madison Square Garden, I was working. I was doing mini St. Louis. But that game one at the Garden was must-see TV. It's one of the most iconic games ever played at the Garden. And Pittsburgh was able to snatch that one 4-3. And, of course, Igor Shesterkin made 79 saves. Remember when MJ had 55 points at the Garden?
Yes, of course.
Shesterkin had 79 points. Like, it's one of the most incredible individual performances in the history of Madison Square Garden. But to Pittsburgh's credit, they're down to their third goalie, Louis Domingue, who's playing really well for them. They snatched that game, and really that's the game that turned the series for me.
I know, it's amazing. For that guy to come off the bench ice cold and do what he had to do in that moment and to turn that series, it's just incredible. Like, Kevin, you can speak to that, right? How hard is that? As somebody who played goalie, you've lived that life your entire life. How hard is that to do?
It's so hard because the Stanley Cup playoff games are hyper-intense. You and I, when we visit during the playoffs, I tell you all the time, the rink's 200 by 85. In terms of dimension. In the playoffs, it feels like it's 150 long by 50 wide. Hmm. You can't think. You can't breathe. It's so hyper-intense on every possession. So to come in cold off the bench, that's basically like saying, okay, heaven forbid, TB12 goes down. We are in the third quarter. We've got the ball. We're first in whatever, 30. And now you got to come off the bench and run the offense and try to win the game. And try to do that. Like, that's how difficult it is. So wild, because our sport and our position specifically, like quarterback, it's a very feel-intuitive position, right? It's so many subtleties in the movements and the biomechanics and your timing and your positioning and everything, your reads. Goalies have no margin for error. So what Louis Domingue has been able to do, in light of Casey DeSmith, who played really well as their two, and also in place of their starter, Tristan Jarry, who's an all-star this year. It's amazing what Dominguez done, but you got to give a lot of props to my boy Andy Kyoto, who's a goalie coach here in Pittsburgh, former NHL goalie himself. He's done a great job with their three goalies this year.
Hey, Kevin, one last thought. I agree with you. One last thought, just big picture. And you and I will talk this time of year, every year, no matter what. And I talked to Ray Ferraro last week. The rubber came on. It just seems like my particular audience, these are all great guys, you know this, but the audience seems like they're more into it now than in recent memory. Is it because we're on a bigger platform, or does it feel that way to you?
Yeah, of course. We're on a much bigger platform. I mean, I think it's great for our sport. I was talking to Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly about this, and Commissioner Bettman, our league's where it deserves to be. It needs to be elevated on the proper pedestal relative to the league and to the sport and our amazing players and our great fans. And I think, if anything, I don't want to say it legitimized our sport by being back on Walt Disney and on ESPN and Hulu and ABC and, of course, on TNT, the Turner Company. But I don't want to say that it legitimizes us, but it kind of does. You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell you how many players I talk to and people in the business, coaches, GMs, owners, that are just raving about the fact that our games are where they should be. They're getting the coverage that they should in terms of the exposure on those platforms. And you know how players are. Players are competitive. Players hear this and they're like, hey, listen, I love Braun. I love Doncic. I love all these guys. I love TB12. I love all these guys, Ronaldo, Sir Lewis Hamilton. But, yo, we're in the league too. You know what I mean? Like, we need to be there. We want to showcase McDavid, Dreisaitl, Makar, McKinnon, Shesterkin, Panarin, Kaprizov. We want our players to continue to be household names as well. They're great at what they do, and they do it on ice, and they do it on skates. And we have some of the most passionate fans in the world of professional sports as well. So I think it's been great for our sport to be back on those two platforms. And, of course, you know, being on the NHL Network with 24-hour coverage as well. Everybody tunes in. It's on in every dressing room, every weight room. And the fans tell us that they're watching all the time, too. So we're just happy to be able to serve the fans, as are you. You know this. You're a Hall of Famer. You know what it takes. It's just a matter of bringing it to the fans every day, and that's an earned privilege.
That's it. And I love the game. I love the product, and I love the guys who play it. It's great. He will be on ESPN2's call for the Caps and Panthers. Game 5 tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. NHL Network is airing live coverage before and after every single game with NHL Now and NHL Tonight. He is a broadcaster for the NHL Network, ESPN, and TSN. He is Kevin Weeks. Kevin, appreciate you so much. What a blast that was,
anytime.
But it always is, man.
Anytime,
thank you so much.
Man. Thank you so much for having me, man. Keep up the great work, Romy.
You too, Kevin. Appreciate you very much. Kevin Weeks. Guys in the game, too, appreciate it and the opportunity. Have you noticed literally every time we put on any analyst for that sport, you get that kind of energy, you get that kind of passion?